bless your name. I bless your name. Let's stand and say it. I bless your name. I bless your name. We're going to give you honor. We'll give our praise.
Lord, I give you praise.
Oh, yes, you are.
Look through the way.
I bless.
Of God this morning. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? It was good, wasn't it? Amen. Just certainly enjoy the word of the Lord, and we're just looking forward to what God would have for us today. If you don't mind, just remain standing. We have just a very few prayer requests this morning. We want to remember a man by the name of Douglas Taylor in prayer. He's having to have a leg amputated because of diabetes. They're asking that we would remember that request as we pray today. Sister Linda Nunley says to please remember Brother Daniel in prayer. He has a very bad cough, had to leave service early last night because of that. They're asking that we would remember Brother Daniel in prayer, so let's remember that. Brother Joel Moyer says to please pray for services. Remember in service the need of the Joel Moyer family in Ohio, so let's remember those folks as we pray today that the Lord would be mindful of their situation. Please pray for Brother Matt Carter's neighbor, Matthew Shepherd. Has a leak on the brain and really needs salvation. So we want to remember that prayer request as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many needs in a group of this size. We'll just commit them all unto the Lord. Brother Brad Johnson, come this morning and lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Certainly have a lot of visitors with us again in the service today. We're so glad to have each and every one of you. Good to have Brother Brad, Sister Molly, and their family. They're back home, aren't they? We're just glad to have them. Praise the Lord. I bless you, buddy.
It's good to be home. Everyone's made us feel really welcome. And already I sense the presence of the Lord. So if you have a need today, and I have many friends here, and I went to see Brother Eugene Kennedy. He was really a good friend of mine. And take him on your heart if you would. And there's others that have serious needs, and plus these requests. But you know, I really like that picture up on the screen about the river, that river flowing. Jesus said, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. That is a promise. It's in red letters, so you better believe it. Praise the Lord. Let's take these knees, pray for others around you that held their hand up. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're a great big God, and you supply all our needs, Lord. And you promised us, Lord, by your word, that out of our belly would flow living water that gives life and gives us resurrection every day when we partake of it. Your Holy Spirit is freshened and alive this morning. And Lord, we're looking to you with all these needs and requests, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to move by your Spirit. And Lord, we know it must operate our faith. And we must believe the word. And by our confession, Lord, it's a finished work. Because you already paid for it. So Lord, we accept it this morning. Lord, bless this service. And just pour out of your Spirit, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. As we said a few minutes ago, all of our visitors, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you in the service. Let's give our visitors a nice hand this morning, if you would. Praise the Lord. Glad to have you here. All those who would be streaming the service, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make a couple of announcements real quickly. Brother West wanted you to know that teen and young adult, there will be Bible study tomorrow evening in the fellowship hall from 6 until 8 p.m. That's teen and young adult. Bible study tomorrow evening at 6, from 6 until 8 in the fellowship hall, so remember that. Also, there's a sign-up sheet in the library. If you would care to help during the fall festival, they're seeking helpers. If you could do that, they would appreciate you go and sign up and render your services for the fall festival. Well, it's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. You may know a lot of good, important people in your life. You may have met many important people, but you'll never meet anybody more important than Him. Amen. Jesus Christ. There's no one greater than Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that this morning, if you would. No one greater than Jesus. Amen. You go ahead and start it, and we'll hit.
I'm waiting on the words, if you're wondering. I'm too old to start that one by myself. E minor. I was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. Chains could not hold. Shackles sin. Ooh, is that coming?
Oh, yes.
From the other side of the sea, His eyes of compassion,
thank you, Lord.
They're piercing through.
Because Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're going to try to work three songs in this morning. I don't know that we'll have time, but we're going to do our best. Got more singers than we got room for, but we're glad to have what we have. Sister Lindsay, if you come onto the platform. Sister Tamika, if you come onto the platform, and we'll wait on that third one just to see where time's at. But sing fast. Walk up here real quick. And we'll sing a little chorus while you're getting ready. Our God reigns. Do you believe that with all your heart this morning? Somebody say it's the truth. Our God reigns.
Our God reigns. Our God
singers a nice hand as you're seated today.
I can't breathe without you. I can't sing without you. I can't be who I'm supposed to be without you. I would stray without you. I would break without you. I would waste away all of my days without you. If you wanna move, move through me. If you're gonna move, move through. And the cross you've chosen, free and bind my life to yours, oh Lord. Let the words you've spoken and the cross you've chosen, free and bind my life to yours. This is all I'm asking for. If you want to move, move through me. If you're going to move, I was just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. Before the calls of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He have me be is who I am. As I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face as darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. Sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope
Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you once again. I was asked to sing These Are the Days of Elijah again, and I was asked to sing a couple other songs. So I'm actually going to sing a song that was impressed upon me by Brother Donnie. I was raised listening to the old recording of Brother Harry and Brother Donnie singing. And we drive through the mountains of Phelps, Kentucky, listening to those CDs. And I always remember Brother Donnie when it came to the song pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. It's not a time to backslide in this day. It's not a time. No, if your friends, if your best friend forsake you, if your best friend backslide, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I'm going to keep pressing on. And that's where this song comes from this morning. Well, Satan tries to stop me and turn me aside. He says there's nothing to this gospel. It's a bunch of lies. But when I read in the Bible, it becomes alive. So I press toward the mark of the prize. Oh, yes, I press toward the mark of the prize. Yes, Lord, I press toward the mark of the prize. This is my high calling of Jesus Christ. So I press toward the mark of the prize. Well, God is still a good God. He remains the same. No matter what you're going through, just call upon His name. He's always there to answer in your time of need. And His ear is always open to your pleas. So I press toward the mark of the prize. Yes, Lord, I press toward the mark of the prize. Yes, this is our high calling of Jesus Christ. So I press toward the mark of the prize. Well, Acts 2 and 38, it is the same today. Repent and be baptized from every filthy way. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost, give you peace and joy within. Sometimes we get down from day to day. We ask God to take those tests and all our trials away. But then we remember God's people will overcome. So keep on fighting, for our battle will be won. So I press toward the mark of the prize. Yes, Lord, toward that mark of my pride. Oh yes, this is our high calling of Jesus Christ. So I press toward the mark of the prize. If you know it, sing it. Yes, I press toward the mark of the prize. Yes, Lord, I press toward the mark of the prize. This is our high calling of Jesus Christ. So I press toward the mark. One more time. Oh yes, I press toward the mark of the prize. Oh Lord, I press toward that mark of your prize. This is our high calling of Jesus Christ. So I press toward the mark of the prize. This is our high calling of Jesus Christ.
Have nothing to go back to. That is, if you've burned all your bridges. If you left a few bridges, you're in a mess. But if you've burned all yours, there's only one place you can go. Back home. Back home. God bless you, saints. So wonderful for us to be together today. Without any further delay, we'll ask Brother Ron if he'll just come. It's such a privilege for visitors to be with us, and I love it whenever you come to church and you have anticipation and expectation in your heart. Just the saints of God gathered together creates that. And then whenever they come looking for the word, there's no telling what our Lord will do today. Amen. You believe that? We're not serving a God that used to be, a God that is going to be in the future. But we're serving one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what you need, Brother Ron, no doubt he's studied and he has a direction. But you keep in mind, you have the ability to pull that servant of God even off of his main notes and have him to go 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is that you need. God will pull him right off of there and let him go right back and then pull him off to someone else and someone else. The gift is for you. Gifts aren't given to preachers to make them important and famous. They're given to the body. Amen. We certainly, certainly enjoyed the service last night. Appreciate our brother. Amen. Brother Ron Peterson. God bless you, Brother Ron. Thank you.
Could we sing "He's Got It All in Control"? Just let me get relaxed up here a little bit. You glad you're in church this morning? Have you been praying? Seeking God? See, if you'll pray, God will answer. By the foolishness of preaching, He'll speak to your heart. So if you prayed this morning and you asked God for something, sometime throughout this service, God's got an answer directly for you. Amen. He's got it all in control.
He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control.
I put my life in His hands.
I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. So every road that I walk down, I'm sure it's in His plans. I put my life.
Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, we have that full assurance, Lord, in our hearts that no matter what comes our way, what trials we go through, You've got it all in control. And so, Father, we come to You this day and ask You, Lord, come and once again meet us as we have gathered in expectation of You to reveal something new to us, to show us, Father, a little bit more of our life and the journey that we are on. I pray, draw us close to You, Lord. Let us fall in love with You deeper than we've ever fallen before. We thank You. I pray You'll bless each and every one. We commit the service into Thy hands. Use us for Your glory, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Brother Louis, I am going to take your suggestion today. Hallelujah. Let's just remain standing. I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, I want you to know, as a man of God, a lot of times you know when God deals with you. And this morning, in fact, all last night, God started dealing my heart, and I got real comfortable, and I figured I'd know I'd go in this certain direction, and so I was kind of relaxed and everything. But this morning, and I it always makes me so nervous when God does it to me. He changes the sermon. When you was all ready to go this direction, then you turn and go this direction. And so I know, and I tell you what, I was so quickened that I looked at the clock. I said, somebody's praying. Somebody's praying right now. It was 8 o'clock this morning, 8 o'clock. And somebody in here, you were praying and you were seeking God. And I know it. I know it because God abruptly, to so much that it just kind of shook me. So I don't know which one of you was responsible. But I'll tell you, you will know before the service is over because God has got a word for you this morning. Amen. And I didn't finish what I had said about believe the sign last night. So you forgive me. Because I told a brother, I said, who are you trying to catch? I said, it was none of those signs that made me a believer. Whether the cloud, the pillar of fire, none of those. I didn't look at any of those and say, now I believe. No, it was the voice behind the sign. The voice behind the sign. Amen. It's good to see so many of our older friends here. We've known for such a long time and different ones. And Philip, God bless you, Horniak, and Tom, and all of you, and the Lunsfords and the different ones. We just love you, the Davises. We just love each and every one. And all of you, too. Yeah, we like you, too. And we're glad you're here. And there was a big old host of the Lovealls. They came out here, and all of their family, and they kind of came in all, you know, they move as a clan. They're like a swarm of locusts. They just, you know, when something's gone, they just go over here and everything. So they're all here today, and so we bless them too. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. May God add the blessing to His word. You may be seated this morning in the presence of God. Lord, bless Israel today. Amen. As we look at this scripture, we see now that Abraham embarks on a journey. And God has told him, God comes here and reveals Himself to him and tells him to get him out of that country and away from his kindred and father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make thee a great blessing, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Listen, you can just imagine that Abraham is kind of walking around, wow, with such an anointing on him. He thinks that, wow, this journey is going to be easy. The whole nations of the earth are blessed just because of me. They'll probably bow in front of me. The red carpet will be out there. Why? Everything's going to go so easy. It sounds like the reality of his journey is just going to be blessing after blessing. But see, sometimes God shows you just the mountaintops. Oh, yeah, oh, that mountaintop, oh, this one, oh, look at that, isn't it going to be wonderful? But he doesn't show you the valleys you go between. Amen. So, he's not shown all that the journey will entail. God did not disclose to him all the twists in the road and the trials. He didn't show him all the pitfalls and the dangers along the way. He just knew that God was going to bless him and his seed after him. He was a pilgrim and a stranger. His journey would produce pleasure and it will produce pain. It will have victories and it will have defeats. He will have holy moments and he will have horrible moments. Can anyone relate to Abraham today? And though you're blessed, God said, I'll be with you. He didn't say it all be easy. He said, but I will be with you. Somebody say, God's with me. Amen. Let's take a moment here now as I lay a foundation for the direction in which I'm going. I'll give you my sermon title here in just a moment. But I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. Of one of the greatest characters within the Bible, by the name of Elijah. Elijah being one of the most powerful men that we have recorded in Scripture. He was a one-man army. He didn't back down from anyone, and yet when he was anointed, he'd have a great Mount Carmel experience, but when the anointing left him, he'd run in front of Jezebel. So, I want to share this with you this morning, and I want to look beyond the picture that we see, because we need to put ourselves into the Scripture. And I trust that somebody here will relate, because God's speaking to you this morning. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 7. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. You imagine? This man running from a woman. Shows what happens when there's no anointing on you. God, help us to be anointed. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there, and he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He's got suicidal thoughts. What good is it? What good is my life? And he requested that he might die and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. I want you to know, God is giving you a small, very personal part to look into the life through this window of Elijah. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking in the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. In fact, let me just drop in some. Brother Branham said that Elijah had a nervous breakdown. He said his nerves were shot. He was under such distress, and he said, oh God, take my life. I want you to understand, listen, Here's a man of God, a great man of God, and yet he's under such pressure right now that he says, oh, God, why don't you just take my life? Brother Branham said that God searched through all the angels of heaven and found the angel with the softest palm. And he said, go and brush the brow of Elijah. Oh, God is mindful of what you go through. He knows just what you need. Now watch this, because this is where I wish to launch off into my sermon. And the angel of the Lord, verse 7, came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. I'd like to title my sermon, when the journey seems too great to carry on. And I want to take a subject or the direction this morning that God will meet you in a place of uncertainty. Amen. There are going to be times in your life that you're going to be tested to your limit, but never beyond. You were made to stand the test. It matters not whether you are a prophet or a prince. Whether you are male or female, whether you are rich or poor, intellectual or unlearned. All of us have a limit of how much pressure we can stand. And even great men of God sometimes get pressed to their limit. And Elijah is there. The red line on his tachometer. It's there for a reason. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but with temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You shall go through trials. You shall go through times when you think, I can't handle anymore. And at that point, I want you to understand, God is mindful. And He's got a place of escape. He's got somewhere. There's a door. There's a pressure relief valve somewhere. Because it's His Word. So when you feel like that, get on your knees. When your knees are knocking, kneel on them. Amen. He's not testing you to punish you. He's testing you to prove you that you have faith in God's Word. In the sermon, What Doest Thou Here? 1959 in Jeffersonville. And I tell you, Elijah and his nerves all on edge. Oh, I feel sorry for him. His nerves is about ready to break anyhow. And that great pound from Jezebel finished the stroke. Then he run and went into the wilderness, laid under the juniper tree. Oh, that experience of the juniper tree. There's many of us find ourselves under a juniper tree. I get myself there many times to a place that I don't know what to do. You're frustrated. Frankly, I'm under one right now. I'm wondering, oh God, what would you have me to do? You know, people under the juniper tree is like Elijah. They like to sleep. Listen to what Brother Bram said. This helped me when I read this, because a lot of times you as a minister, you'd be preaching, and you've been praying and seeking the mind of the Lord, and people sleep while you're preaching. So Brother Branham said this, I preach to more tired people than anybody in the world. He says, people so tired, they're so mentally strained until they're filling the insane institutions and the hospitals everywhere. They went in such a condition till they don't know what they do believe and what they want. They're just laying there. They don't know what to do. Oh, such a sad sight. And continuing on in the same sermon, there he laid under a juniper tree. He didn't know what to do. His nerves broke, shaken. He was crying, no doubt. He is in a terrible condition. Many of us hit those places, especially after a Mount Carmel experience. And as a minister, I will tell you, get a clue that you have a great revival or a great awakening or a great revelation that comes to you. Prepare yourself the next day because Satan's going to try to take that from you. You have great mountaintop experiences. Be careful when the anointing leaves you. It was asked of me the other day by someone, what can we do at those times? There's only one thing you do. Commit yourself to God. And I know that a man can overwork himself and a man can underwork himself. God knew this man needs feeding. He needed something to eat. That's what I tell my wife. Come on, brothers, help me out now. There's a lot of times you're all flustered and you're all upset. Just feed me. I can roar like a lion when I'm hungry. But after you feed me, you ever seen a lion in the wilderness after he's done, he's had a feast? He just, you know, an impala can walk by him within 10 feet. His belly's full, he just looks up, not now. So, just giving a little of my personal touch here. God had to do something for him. God has to do something for every man that comes under the juniper tree, or he'll go to pieces. He has to do it. If his servant's laying under the tree yonder, don't know what to do. He's carried out his commission. Elijah said, "Oh Lord, let me die." I've had those feelings after I come out of a meeting. And I tried, I preached, I begged, I persuaded. And seeing the angel of God sweep through the meetings and do signs and wonders. And I go sit in a car outside and I hear them as they walk by. Wasn't nothing but psychology. There's nothing to it, nothing to that. That's all nonsense. Oh, when I hear that, I crawl under that juniper tree. I think, Lord, why'd you let me do it for? We've all hit those experiences. But the mercy of Jehovah to his servant, God knows your trials. He knows just what you need. He knows all about it. I had an opportunity to travel with Brother Joseph and Brother Billy Paul. And Brother Billy Paul shared with me some personal testimony. And he said, Brother Branham, he preached his heart out, and of course you know that he said, Billy, God has called you to work with me. You'll know when I get tired and you'll know when I've had too much. Because he said, if I stay under the anointing too long, I can't preach tomorrow night. I said, Billy, how did you know when your daddy had too much? And he says, he'd begin to stagger in the pulpit. Like a drunk man, he'd look around. Didn't know where he's at. He says, Daddy would wipe his face. And he says, and what I'd do is I'd walk behind Daddy and I'd come up there. You can see it in 20th Century Prophet. He walks behind him. He's checking on him. He said, I'd come up here and he said, I'd put my right hand on Daddy's hip. And if Daddy wanted to continue, he'd touch me. I'm okay, Billy, let me go. You see, they had a little. And he said, but if his daddy leaned back into his arms, he says, I'm literally holding my daddy up. He says, I would reach around and grab his Bible. I'd look to the host pastor or the man of the meetings and I'd dismiss us and we'd take him out. And he said, I'd take Daddy out. And he says, you're just, he's stumbling and he's tired, he's spent. He said, I'd put Daddy in the back seat of the car, and I would. The only way I could get away from people, he said, was to put him in the car and drive. And he says, Daddy would lay down in the back of the car, and all of a sudden he'd say, Sister in that red dress on the third row, stand up, God just healed you of cancer. He said, Brother over here, you see, God's prophet's still under the anointing. And those people are still pulling on the gift. And he's in the car and he's driving away. And God's prophet is still, oh my. Let me tell you, when you get under that anointing, you're in the realm of the supernatural. And when people began to call on that gift that God had in his life, his prophet had to see it and speak it. How many of you believe in the supernatural? Then he says, Daddy, and start crying. Oh, Billy, take me home. I don't want to preach no more. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm spent. Take me home. And he says, he just start crying and sobbing. Take me home, Billy. I want to see Mama and the kids. And he said about 15, 20 minutes later, they'd be driving around. And all of a sudden, he'd see the image of Brother Branham in the rearview mirror as he sat up. He'd gather himself. He says, was the meeting good tonight, Billy? He says, how many more services have we? And he said, we got five more. And he says, take me to the motel, Billy. We got a job to do. Saints of God, these men of God went through great things. And I think one of the greatest things that I, as a minister, when I look at the ministry of Brother Branham and you look at how many sermons he preached and the hours he spent in prayer lines, that alone is a miracle. Amen. So, Brother Branham says, many times we hit these spots in our lives. He says that you're just pressed to your limit. I want you to turn with me to St. John chapter 4. Excuse me. St. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus there, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. If Jesus became wearied with his journey, what about us? Brother Branham, now I'm just laying a foundation here, and if you'll hang on just a second, we'll start preaching. In the sermon, Christ in Phoenix, 1955. Now in this, the children of Israel were on their journey going from Egypt to the promised land. God promised to provide everything they had need of in their journey. Which is a type in itself of the church now coming out of Egypt. Out of the chaos journeying to the promised land. Amen. Somebody say, I'm on a journey. You are on a pilgrimage. He never said it would be easy. But he said, I will be with you. And I want you to all understand, you do not run this like a sprint. This is not a 100-yard dash. This is not just a mile. This is a marathon. And it will take your lifetime to finish the race. Oh, I like how the Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have ran my course. I have finished the race. Great men go through great trials. It's going to take a lifetime to get where you want to go. So on your journey and your pilgrimage to the promised land, there's many twists and bends in the road. There's mountaintops and deep valleys. But just keep going. Because the race is not to those who run the swiftest. We conduct ourselves in our course of life with reference to the things which are unseen and not to the reference to the things that are seen. I want you to read with me in the book of Job, chapter 42. As we go to the book of Job 42, verses 1 through 6, then Job answered the Lord. Now, saints of God, Job was a great man of God. God had such confidence in him that Satan went up and down the earth finding who he could devour, and he was just like a roaring lion. And imagine this, God said, hey, wait a second. Of all the people, have you thought of Job? Thanks, Lord. That's, yeah. Just what I need. I mean, haven't you felt that way sometimes? You pray for patience. Any of you pray for patience? I quit praying for patience a long time ago. No, don't even go there. Sounds like these people know some of this stuff. You've been there, done that. Now, Job, I want you to understand that he's going to go through a hard test. And so now, his life has just been pressed to the max. He's lost his kids, his wealth. He's gone bankrupt. He's on an ash heap and he's scraping boils. His friends have turned against him. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Yeah, sometimes even your wife won't encourage you. And Job said, I curse the day I was born. Because you can go through trials. Job 42 verse 1, and then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful of me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare it unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He's claiming his right to revelation. I have heard by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees. You see, now God is showing him, I have watched over you. I have allowed the devil to do this, but he is a chained enemy. He can only come so far. He's like a dog on a chain. He can only come so far. Now the Bible calls him a righteous man in the eyes of God. Even though he was a righteous man, he went through times of deep depression. Righteous man lost everything that he had worked for. He had wonderful moments and he had horrible moments. He had deep suffering and anguish that burdened his soul. He was a righteous man. He was being tested if he would praise God in the bad times. You see, it's easy to praise him when everything's going good. When you got money in your pocket, when you're going, things are going good at your job, the kids are being nice, the dog likes you, the wife is cooking all your favorite meals, your car is running okay. The sun is shining, a song leader sings your favorite song, and your pastor preaches a sermon you like. Well, it's about time, Brother Donnie. Thank you. I so enjoyed that sermon. The one last week, I tell you, didn't like it. Oh, everybody likes them sweet num-num sermons. You know, mothers are just like pastors. They know that child's got to have some veggies once in a while. So she's smart. She's got two cans open. One of green veggies. Little round rosy-cheeked baby sitting there. So it puts a little veggie in there and the baby... And you see those eyes and the brow like this. But mama's quick. She gets that pudding. Puts it right behind it. So it is with the pastor. He says something. Ooh, man. Oh, well, hurry up and give him that pudding. Otherwise, they're going to spit it out. You know what I'm talking about? All right. But see, there's times that we should praise Him. If you can't praise Him in the pit, you got no business praising Him in the palace. Amen. It's true. How many of you know there is power in praise? If you just start praising Him, not because everything's going right, because real praise comes from a worshiper that is in the midst of a trial. Real worship is when you are going through all kinds of torment and trial, and yet you're not saying it because you're happy on the outside, but you got a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. The best praise comes from the midst of the pit. Those disciples thrown in prison, their backs bloodied. They're in a 5-star hotel. They haven't had a nice meal to go to bed on. They don't have no fluffy comforter to lay under. They're beaten and shackled. And they're thrown in prison, no doubt, rats running back and forth, and it's dark and dingy. And they began to praise. If somebody in the church would begin to praise, why is he praising God? I thought he's in the midst of a trial. If somebody in church would go to praising God, there would be power that God would say, I ain't sending no angel down there. I'm going myself. I will deliver them. And you know what's the amazing thing? You let one or two begin to praise God in the midst of their trials, it'll set the whole church free. Those prison doors will come open. People will start getting free. People will start getting delivered. Amen. You remember Job said, behold, I go forward, he's not there, and backward, I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He was prophesying of his own journey. God knows the journey you're on today. And God allows you to be tried and tested. Brother Ram said, none of you are exempt. Every son and daughter of God must be tested. Brother Ram said so often, must I go to heaven on a flowery bed of ease when others fought to gain the prize? And they fought through bloody seas. I must fight if I must reign. I don't want to go to heaven on a cut from a sardine can. Oh, God, I went through so much. Look, at the people didn't like me, and I went to school, and they made fun of the way I dressed. Oh, you poor excuse. I'm sorry. I don't believe in babying God's people. Jesus said, and he's told you right away, you will be hated and persecuted. They won't like you. They won't even know why they don't like you. You will go to the bank and they won't like you. You will go to order something at Starbucks. Amen. And they look at you like, who are you? You know, you carry an anointing with you. You walk into the bank, everything's going good. When you get to the teller, oh, I'm sorry, our machines ain't working right. There's something wrong right here. Yeah, I know. But I'm a son of God. God molds your character by the tests and trials you go through. And it happens to you when you're on the journey. Because what you go through on this journey is molding you. Amen. It'll take a lifetime to complete this course. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul said, "For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." How many of you love his appearing? There's only three comings, but many appearings. And that's where a lot of people get all stumbled up today, even ministers. They say he's already come. They quit taking communion. They do these things. Then I tell you, even the prophet of God missed it. Because one of the last sermons he preaches is communion. And the Bible says you do this as oft as you gather together until I come. Come on, this message is simple. Don't make it complex. Don't take some mysterious quote, add it to another mysterious quote, and come up with a mysterious answer. The runner don't wear the victory crown until the end of the race. You don't get the diploma until you have finished your schooling. And you don't get paid until the job is complete. You don't get this crown until you finish the race. Now, I want to show you a couple places here within the scripture of somebody, because I told you that my subject is when you get to a place of uncertainty. When you get to a place you really don't know what you're going to do and you need help. Saints of God, let me say this. Don't ever be too proud that you will not ask for help. Because we all need help. You know what they found out about our Green Beret and our special forces here in America? They taught them that you are a rock, an island unto yourself. And you can take it and you're going to go through and hoo-ah! Yeah! And they go out there and they go into battle, and when they get hit, they don't call for help. And we started losing more of our Green Berets and our guys, our special forces, because they didn't say, "I'm hit. Man down." How many of you have ever said, "Well, I ain't never going to call for help. I ain't never going to have somebody lay hands on me. I'm not going to let anybody know I'm hurt." That's pride. You need to humble yourself and say, "I'm hit. I'm hit. I got hit. I tell you, I need help. Somebody." Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 and 29. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come down to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was returning. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now he's coming back. Obviously, he didn't get what he thought he would get in Jerusalem. Because he came back with more questions than he had answers. I was returning and sitting in his chariot. I read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip was led of the Spirit. He left the revival he was in to go down to Gaza in a desert place. Brother Branham said in Israel in the church, he said Philip left a big revival and we had all Samaria on the move and went down into the desert Gaza and stood there to find one man. Never did return back to the revival. Sat right up to the desert Gaza. Found one man, the Ethiopian. He was converted. But he never did go back to Samaria again, that great revival. And he says, here I am. We canceled the meeting over in Memphis the other day. And where we had a Church of Christ, or not a church, a Youth for Christ, was going to sponsor the big Memorial Auditorium in Memphis. And the Holy Spirit said, come on. So here I am. Now Brother Bram said, the Holy Spirit told him to leave. And he said, so here I am. Come on. And he had a Philip in a great revival one time, told him to go down to the desert and preach to one man. He went out there, that's right, left the revival right on in the heat of it, that's right. That's exactly. We just have to do what God says do. Sometimes God knows that somebody's stuck in their journey. They've come to a time in their journey that they're not certain as to what they believe and what they're to do. They're high-centered. They don't know what to do. So God will send a runner to catch up to you. He may send somebody running from Arizona to come to Tennessee because somebody's stuck. This eunuch was reading the prophecy of Isaiah, but he couldn't catch what the Spirit was saying. He was reading his Bible. He had a spoken word book. What is this about? Who is he talking of? Is it him or somebody else? He's in a quandary. He was a man of great authority. Under Candace of Ethiopia. Candace is not her name. Candace is the name of a position like Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Candace, queen of Ethiopia. Do you remember her? She went to Solomon. She heard such wisdom of Solomon. She brought the Jewish religion back to all of Ethiopia. Candace is not her name, it's a title. In fact, these women that led the armies of Ethiopia were so feared and so fearsome in battle that when Alexander the Great went to conquer that part of Ethiopia, Candace, queen of Ethiopia, came riding out on an elephant. And they said, nope. We'll go around with him. He went down to worship in Jerusalem. But watch, now God is sending a runner with a message to help the eunuch because he's uncertain as to what the scripture he's reading. God will always send a messenger when you're in a place of uncertainty. So follow along with me, Book of Acts chapter 8. How many of you love to read your Bible? Because you know what? It's a story about all of us. Do not just read it as some story. Read it as an experience. And read it putting yourself inside of that. Acts chapter 8 verse 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the spoken word book. come on. I got a paraphrased version up here. Understandest what thou readest? How can I accept? How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Understand this, Brother Bram said, God never ordained mechanical devices to preach this gospel. He uses God called, God ordained, God equipped men. God has always used a man. He said he could have used the trees, the stars. But he said God uses a man. When he needed a man for the earth, he sent Adam. God always sends a man. It's his program. He don't change. He didn't send a tape recorder. He could have. You believe in listening to those tapes? You better believe it. But the tapes never replaced going to church. The tapes never replaced the fivefold ministry. Amen. That's the truth, saints. He says, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb done before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. And the eunuch was like so many message believers today who were absolutely uncertain as to the prophetic word for this hour. And even more so, don't know what part they play. He's trying to figure it out all by himself. Struggling, trying to make things fit together, and it just couldn't make it. And yet he humbled himself. And you know what he did? He said, come on up here. I need some help. Come sit with me. Sometimes, now you listen to me. Sometimes you are so proud, I can do it myself. I'll Google the answer. I will query the message, and I'll find a quote. Brother Bram said, every Christian should know their ABCs, which means always believe Christ. It doesn't mean Apple built computer. He humbled himself and he said, come sit with me. Don't be so proud, don't be so arrogant that when you get stuck, I've been stuck. I've been high-centered. Wheels all turning. Huh? You ever been there? You ever just been stuck? You ever been in a place I really don't know what to do? But hang on. Because at the time of uncertainty, God has got somebody running. God is sending a messenger. God is sending somebody to your chariot, to your home, to your address. And if you will humble yourself and ask Him to come sit, you'll get your answer. Sometimes successful people get stuck in their journey because they're so proud to ask somebody for help. They may be successful in their business and failing to walk with God with their own family. Losing their children to the world. They're successful in their career but failing in their marriage. They have their books and tapes and their Bible. But I want to speak to you independent people here today. Don't be independent. Be dependent. Because we depend on one another. Can the hand say unto the foot, I have no need of thee? Are we not subject one unto another? You don't think that I'm not subject to Him? And He to me? I'll tell you what, and I don't just say this, and I don't believe in just patronizing from the pulpit. You have one of the finest God-given gifts to this bride right here in Happy Valley, and the reason that He gets so many people beaten on His tree is because there's good apples on His tree. And no, He didn't pay me to say that. He and I, we're not texting all the time. I'm not sending Him emails. I don't call Him all the time. But when we get together, it's nice. I enjoy it because you know what? We ain't talking baseball. I could care less if it's Diamondbacks or Cardinals. Yeah. The prophet had this very thing happen in his own ministry. He lost the feeling for the people. And he tells you right on tape, he said, what good is it? I've preached all these sermons. I preach against women cutting their hair and I come back to my own church. He said, wow, what good has it done? I'm going to go up into Canada. I'm going to be a trapper. I'll grow my hair long. And he said, well, I've mixed evangelism and this prophetic word all these years. He said, it's never been God's perfect will. You understand that? Whoa, wait a second. What about over there in Africa and India and all the signs and all these great vindications and these parades with all the wheelchairs and crutches? He said, I mixed evangelism, this evangelistic gift and prophetic gift. He said, a prophet don't have to tell you your name. He just comes out, gives you, thus saith the Lord, whether you like it or not. So, God had to teach him a lesson. Great men make great mistakes. When he listened to his mother-in-law, it cost him his wife and his baby. You know that was one of the hardest. If you ever listen to life story and you don't cry when you hear it, then you're calloused and hardened. Because he says, I listened to my mother-in-law. You keep my daughter away from that trash. Sometimes, listen to me now, sometimes they of your own household can be your worst enemy. That's right. Jesus said, do not think that I came here to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set father against son, daughter against mother. That's why in your own family, yes, you can have several children from the same mom and dad. But that doesn't mean they're all elect. You wait and watch them grow up. When they're little, yeah, you can control them. But what about when they get bigger? about Isaac and Rebekah? Were they not elect seed? You would think that every life that came forth from them, they're all elect seed. In fact, God had to correct Isaac. Because he loved Esau more than he loved Jacob. Esau was his favorite son. And if it hadn't been for a deceiving wife, Jacob, come here. We're going to deceive your father because his eyesight are bad. And I'm going to put some goatskin on you, and I'm going to make some pottage. You're going to go in there. And he goes in and goes, oh, and he touches him. Oh, the skin and the hair is like Esau. But your voice is like Jacob. okay, Daddy. Jacob didn't care how he got it. You understand? His desire, I want the birthright, and I don't care how I have to get it. And God had to tell Isaac, before the children were even born, and according to election, and predestination. How people can argue with predestination and election and say they believe this message. You lack in revelation, brother. He said before they were born, before they ever done good or evil, Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. You imagine. So, as much as we want to say every one of our children is elect seed, you can't change the seed. If they are seed of God, they will follow God's word. They might have a hard time. They might stray for a while. That's true. They can stray, but they cannot stay. So you just apply the word and you just teach them. And even as Sister Bessie Dalton, Brother Ed Dalton's wife. You remember Ed Dalton? And he got Thus Saith the Lord for his family? Just like Hattie Wright's on tape. You can listen to it. He said, Brother Ron, Brother Ed Dalton shared with me. He said, Brother Ron, he said, my kids was good kids until I got the promise. He said, as soon as the prophet said, I give you your kids in the name of the Lord, he said, all hell broke loose. He said the devil did everything, tried to make the kids go crazy. Kids started smoking and drinking and doing things. And Bessie, the mother, oh, my kids. And I thought the prophet of God said, that, you know, thus saith the Lord, and I give you your kids and everything. Look at them! So he said, Sister Bessie, they were out there and they saw a couple of horses out in the field. You ever seen horses out in the field and got a little colt? And that little colt ran and jumping and kicking and like that. It said, Sister Bessie, that's all them boys are doing. They're just knocking the frost off their heels. He said, you got to trust God's word more than you... Huh? Trust the promise more than you trust the problem. Brother Branham got high-centered. Got stuck at the end of his ministry. What does this vision mean? This blast, no one can live through it. He went to Sabino Canyon. He told Billy Paul, take care of the wife and kids. He said, I'm not coming home. Yeah, let me tell you, he's distraught. He thinks, I'm going, Billy, I'm going off the scene. It's on tape. He said, I went up there, Sabino Canyon. Oh God, if you want to take me home, that's fine. I don't know what this vision means. If you're done with me. He said, that's okay. He said, I knelt down. I'm asking God, what are you doing? What's this vision mean? Yes, sir. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, something struck my hand. You see, what God was doing, he was stuck. He was high-centered. So God sent an angel messenger. Said, fear not. This is the third pull. This is, not will be. He was always pointing to a change in ministry. He said, this is the third pull. He come down off the mountain screaming and yelling, Mita, Mita, I'm not going to die. It's the vindication of my ministry. Wait a second, vindication. I thought all his vindication was all these signs and the peoples and thousands and healing ministries and all. That was good, wonderful, praise the Lord. But you are not product of first and second pull. You weren't there in the time when that was precedent. In fact, Brother Branham said, do you believe that Jesus would cause some to get offended and to leave and to go away and some ponder over it, scratch their head? He said, yeah, sure, uh-huh. He said, God did it then, and he does it again today. Saints of God, don't you realize that the fan is in God's hand and he's thoroughly purging his floor? That's why if you can't handle it with the ministering of the word, because this is the threshing floor. And the sermons that preach. And all of the chaff, because the chaff is not air with the wheat. The shuck can't handle it. But if you're like seed, you're a heavyweight. The winds of doctrine don't blow you around. But they get blown around and they go off and they this and that. Brother Brandon made mistakes. And he got off in the end of his ministry. I beg to differ with you. He did not get off. He got on. He said, my ministry's over. God's taking me off the scene. Church doors are closing. But God sent an angel to catch up to his chariot. He said, you don't understand the vision. You don't understand the parts you play. This is the vindication of your ministry. He humbled himself. And he said, oh, just come sit with me. Come. Come tell me that this, that I am to do at the end time, because everyone's leaving me. Sits there in Arizona for 18 months and not an invite. At the apex of his ministry. How would you like to have been that? And he's realizing, oh God, something's wrong. I'm stuck. Why don't you just take me home? So God sends an angel messenger and says, it's not over till it's over. You got one more trial. You got one more sermon. And you're going to ride this trail one more time. Now I'll tell you, let me ask you a spiritual question. Brother Branham said, I'll ride this trail one more time. It's a promise. How many heard him say it? Go back to your tapes and listen. Go search this. Because I believe in saying all he said. He said, I'll ride this trail one more time. Then he says, she will ride this trail one more time. And we'll ride this trail one more time. Well, which quote is correct? Shh, don't tell nobody. It's a secret. The ministry didn't stop with one voice. because John was told to take the book. Take it out of the hand of him who sat upon the throne. Because in Revelation 5, there was no one worthy. And John was weeping. There was no one in heaven or on earth that was able to take the book nor to look thereon. And John wept. The voice behind him said, "Weep not, John. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." And he turned to see a lion. And he saw a lamb. Having been slain before the foundation of the world. Let me give you a secret to all of you men. Within you, it's just like in Christ. There is a lion and a lamb. You just need the revelation of which one you should be at which time. Sometimes when these guys come up and they are sitting there and yelling in your face and they want to debate the Word of God, just become a lamb. Led to the slaughter. Who openeth not his mouth. Because the carnal man, bring it on, baby. You want to fight? Yeah, the carnal man, bring it on. But the spiritual man, you humble yourself. Well, brother, I'm sorry, you know. Brother Branham said there are more people in this end time who want to debate the Word rather than live it. The time of debating is over. This is not a debate. This is not this quote fights that quote, this scripture fights that scripture. No, let me tell you, what you need is the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost takes the whole Word and blends it together. The reason that we have so many interpretations within this message is because they are giving their own personal opinion. Well, my opinion's just as good as your opinion. And I got my quote, and you got your quote, and so we sit here and just debate. Ah, stop it. I ain't got time to debate this. You think I'm wrong? Pray for me. I'm going to keep the right attitude. I'm going to keep the right spirit. Right? Like the time out, I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. Two of real close friends of Brother Branham. You remember Branham talking about that guy that had the oil and the blood in the hands and had the signs, you know? And they said, "Wow, this guy, he's got such a ministry. When the anointing comes on him, guess what? The blood and oil come out of his hand." And people come up and they're all getting prayed for and getting healed and all of this stuff. And so they brought that man to Brother Branham. And so Brother Branham sat there in his office. "Oh, brother, please tell me about this great anointing." And Brother Branham acted like he was just all enthused and excited to hear about it. So the man, "Yeah, I don't understand it, Brother Branham. And the blood and the oil, and I get under this anointing and it comes, and God, all kinds of signs and wonders." And Brother Branham's ready, wow, that's amazing. And the brothers are going, "You got to be kidding me. I wanted him to tear this guy up. That ain't scriptural." Rah, rah, rah. And so these two brothers, they're disappointed, man. "We came here for a fight, and there wasn't no fight at all. There wasn't, you know, the pastor didn't say nothing." So they're leaving, they're all discouraged. And the man left first, and the two brothers are out, and he grabbed one brother by the shirt tail, pulled him back, got face to face, nose to nose. He said, "Don't believe none of that nonsense. Now get going." Never allow pride to keep you from asking somebody for help. Arrogance and pride will always stop your opportunity to receive the messenger of God. Then you lose that opportunity to get out of the place of uncertainty. Somebody say, "Come sit with me." You have to humble yourself. Yeah. That's a problem today. We got so many proud. I know this message and I got it figured out. They get so proud and arrogant. Keep me humble, Lord. I don't know it all. I don't claim to know it all. I don't have all the answers. All I know is I love Him. And I know that when I come to the place where I get stuck and I'm uncertain, God always sends a messenger. If you'll humble yourself in the sight of God, God will lift you up. Amen. I appreciate you folks today. I do. You got to be tough people because you handle it. Brother Donnie, don't you back up.
No, sir.
Don't you give up.
Yes.
And don't you compromise. I love you, buddy. Yeah, we're a long distance away from one another. We don't talk all the time. We telephone buddies. But you know what? I know that if I needed help.
Yes, sir.
And I need somebody to pray for me. Huh? I could call him. Hey, man, I appreciate you. Each and every one. And thank you for coming to the house of God this morning. Now, I'll tell you what, I had another sermon. I was all ready to preach. And you know, I was going to preach on the left hand of God. Because 10 times more in the scripture, God uses the right hand than He uses the left hand. And I thought, yeah, I like preaching that sermon. Everybody would get happy. So I'll have to wait some other time. Amen. Amen. God is with you, saints. And He's with you until the end. Musicians, if you come, I want to close the service here. I want to turn it over. It's been a real blessing to be here with you. We actually come here to be a part of the wedding. I didn't plan on preaching. Brother Donnie asked us to preach. And so, yeah, well, he ruined my vacation. I thought I was going... But you know what? I'm done preaching now. I'm ready to party. Amen. No, I say that, you know, because listen, as a minister, when he comes and he knows he's got to preach, you're just tied up in knots. You know, you go here and people want you to come over to the house. And Brother Branham, here's a quote I'm going to leave with you. Brother Branham said, some of you think I'm an isolationist. He says, oh no, he says, I'm not an isolationist. I'd love to go home with you on Saturday night and sit down in fellowship and put my feet under your table and everything. And he says, just have a wonderful time of fellowship. But he said, if I do, he says, Sunday morning I got nothing to give the people. Brother Donnie, it's lonely to be a pastor. Is it true? Everybody thinks, oh, you're invited everywhere. You kidding me? Eagles fly alone. Eagles fly alone. And once in a while, when one gets in trouble and goes through that moping period, the others recognize, they come by and drop little scraps of meat. Huh? We need one another. We are subject one unto another. That's why I am subject even to my church. The people have a right to come and say, well, you said this. Where did he say that? Where do you get this doctrine? Because a lot of people will say, well, you said this and you're... No, hey, wait a second. Let's go back and let's just let the prophet say it, right? I was in South Africa one time. Go ahead and play something softly. It's fine. And people will relax a little bit. I'm going to let you go here in a minute. And we were with some brothers. And we're just having a barbecue outside. And one brother asked me, he said, Brother Ron, did Brother Branham ever say anything about L.A. sinking before the rapture? I said, uh-huh. I said, there's one quote. And a pastor there, he spoke up, nope, he never said it. No, I don't teach it that way. Well, I said, you can teach it any way you want to because every church is sovereign in itself. Right? Brother Bram said, you elected Armand Neville. If he wants to preach Jehovah's Witness doctrine, it's sovereign. So I told him, he said, no, he never said it. I said, excuse me, went and got my computer and so typed it in here like this. And Brother Bram says, I predict before the coming of the Lord that God's going to sink that place. Right? He says, well, I don't believe that. I said, I said, look, I just turned it around and I said, you read it. Well, I don't teach it that way. I don't care. He asked me, I told him, you disagree? That's fine. Bless you, brother. I'm not here to argue. He said, well, I teach it's going to be in the time of the tribulation and this and that. Well, fine. I said, but I'll tell you what. If Jesus comes, whether it's before or after L.A. sinks, I said, I'm not going to argue with him about which way I had my way it figured out, right? Because I don't really care. Just come. Just come. Amen. All right. Brother Harry, once again, he's got it all in control. I love you guys. Thank you. Until we meet again, I say unto you, God bless you. Shalom.
He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. Got it all in control.
Oh yes, let's sing it together. Oh, he's got it all in control. Jesus got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. I'm enjoying the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful that we can say that He's God whenever we're up on the mountain. But we can also say He's God when we're down in the valley. And things are going so backwards to where we think they should go. That He's mindful of us. Whatever your need is today, wherever you are, the Lord Jesus is mindful of you. You believe that?
He's got it all in
control.
Yes, Lord. He's got it all.
Yeah.
got it all in control. Even when I don't understand, He's got it all in control. But that God. We realize if we would try to have a meeting like this again next year, another brother from Brother Ron's church would come and steal one of the daughters from our church, and they would want to have a wedding, and it would never quite be this way again. Maybe some from our church would be gone to heaven, some from Brother Ron's church would be gone to heaven. I might be gone, he might be gone. So this is an opportunity that to me is golden in the presence of God. We hope we'll see one another again. I understand what he was talking about, that I ruined his day whenever I texted him and asked him if he'd speak for us. And I was really happy going to visit Brother Tim Pruitt's meeting, and just so happy I was going to get to go and visit and not preach, and he ruined my day. He wanted me to take the last service. Then he ruined it again this week. He said, would you take Saturday and Sunday? So, you know, people that have that itch to preach, they don't understand that. Oh, they just chomping at the bits, which is more than likely not a God-called man in the first place. It's such a responsibility to be able to stand. But with it, aren't you glad God's got men that have the burden of the Word? Do you understand, friend? A tape player cannot feel the burden of the Word. You push it in and push play. You cannot be able to pull on it. You listen to the tapes, and you should. If you don't, shame on you. But when you listen to it 5,873 times, it'll say the same thing every time you listen to it. You cannot pull the tape player. You cannot pull out of the tape player something you need from God, like for this morning. Aren't you glad God's got men that follow the leading of the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, each of you. Thank you for coming. May God bless you and go with you as you fly back home, drive back home, wherever you are, until we meet again. I'd like to invite you before you go to a youth meeting that is scheduled. I want each of you to have a personal invitation. It's the largest youth meeting the world has ever known. In a gated community. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No old people there. No old people allowed. Won't it be wonderful? Praise God. Brother Ron actually used to be in real estate years ago. He still is. Except now he's not selling it. He's inviting people to come and enter into this precious real estate that our Lord Jesus has prepared for us. If you're not ready, friends, be ready. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, don't give up until you get it. The hour is upon us. Prophecies come into pass day by day by day. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, our hearts feel very warmed today by your presence, by your word. Whenever we have to leave, it's just this feeling that hits us, this melancholy type of sadness. Initially, man was not made to say goodbye. He was not made to feel sadness whenever we have to part and go our separate ways. How we long, Lord Jesus, for the time when we'll never have to say goodbye again. May you go with your children now, Lord. Ask that you'd watch over them as they fly, they drive. Those that have been going back to Arizona, Kentucky, and Georgia, and different places, Lord. We just pray that you'd keep them by your grace. May you help them when they get down and discouraged, Lord. May they recall what was said here today that would try to help them during the hard times. Until one day we all gather up to your house and we sit down at that great big table, thousands of miles long. We look across at one another and tears trickling out of our eyes. Take one another by the hand and say, we made it by God's grace. Go with us, Lord. Keep us. Keep us till that hour arrives. We love you, Father. Till we gather together again. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Just turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today.
If anybody asks you,
thank you, Jesus,
where I'm going,
oh yes,
where I'm going, sure.